need that. This is how we recruit people. But it is a substantial amount, $50 million, that we have in reserves. It seems like a lot, but it's not considering the entire budget. Here is the first presentation I want to make on rural medicine. Martin Lipsky, the dean of our regional site in Rockford, presented this yesterday. It's amazing. I think the first thing you see from a map, this is not a red and blue map of the United States. This is, blue is rural areas. White is urban areas. And so what you see is, to a great extent, America still has a lot of rural medicine or rural areas not adequately covered by physicians. About 20% of the population live in rural areas. Only about 9% of the physicians practice in rural areas. So it's an area of great need. It is also, rural areas are also suffering shortages of nurses, healthcare professionals of all type, integrated healthcare systems, and triage or networks of systems to get them into larger areas. And to that issue, we have addressed in Rockford by creating the R-Med program. Something we are proud of, there are about six sites nationally, or five. We are number one in results. It's been a program that we've put a lot of attention to. We handpick about 25 students every year that meet our qualifications for medical school, but have a commitment to rural medicine. This is not in competition with the urban health program, where we also have a very strong and long-standing commitment. So we bring a number in. They're all in the Rockford area where you have a good mentorship program. And I think the key of this is the results. 81% go into primary care. This is, if you follow the newspapers, the big trouble in the United States and other developing countries today is physicians are all going to specialty care. So a lot of them stay in primary care. 75% stay in Illinois. So if you look at a major contribution the school makes to the state of Illinois, they stay not only stay in Illinois, they stay in towns of less than 20,000. So Ed, they stay in communities like you and I are from where there's a great shortage. So this is, I think, a tremendously important program. It has now research into it, looking at how do you practice rural medicine better, how do you integrate it with pharmacy. We have a beautiful building in Rockford now as a result of the campus renovation and adding to it, starting our first cohort of pharmacy students, about 50 a year, which is going to be a tremendous asset to that community. But we're also working them in our rural medicine program. So that's also an issue in rural communities, access to pharmacists. As Dr. Koritz anticipated, these two topics are closely imbricated, rural medicine and telemedicine. So I want to talk a little bit about telemedicine. On the left, you see a rough map of Illinois showing the 50 critical access hospitals in the state. Critical access hospitals are those with under 25 beds in very rural communities that serve an important function. It's one of the things the federal government continued to fund even with when other healthcare resources were declining. We paired in Chicago with one in Galena, Illinois, in the top left corner there, to see could we provide better care for their small hospital and emergency room. They made a request to us. We went and visited. We brought our ER doctors out there. Then we started thinking we could probably do some of this better through telemedicine. So what we have done is set up telecommunications and the beginning of our telemedicine program. I think if you look at areas that we have great strength, you look in the right-hand corner, the high intensive care work and robotic transplant surgery that we're becoming extremely well known for, and neurosurgery. You look on the left-hand side of where we can actually provide telemedicine, teleconsultation, not just in Illinois, but throughout the world. If you go to the next one, here are some of the areas that we have been working on. To get right to the point, if I go to the clinical service lines and development, we already have a contract with the Illinois Department of Corrections to deliver high quality health care to inmates with HIV and hepatitis. If you think of it, these prisons have been bringing prisoners one by one, two guards in a van, 4-hour drive to a university hospital to be seen and sit in the orange jumpsuits waiting for their health care to have their medications reviewed. After an initial visit, you can provide a lot of that care directly through telemedicine, talking directly with the patient, talking with the staff members, getting the records sent over to you through electronically. Huntington's Korea, we're working on a program with Rockford and Rush University. We also have a proposal that looks close to getting funded in Afghanistan, where we are looking at delivering prenatal care to women using sonograms to determine is the woman having a problem pregnancy. It can actually be done electronically without any other telephone in the house. The sonogram is directly hooked to somebody at University of Illinois that can read it, see if the baby is going to be a breech delivery or there's twins or any other complications that may heighten the need to have more than just a midwife or to transport the woman to another place. We're also doing home care collaboration with Advocate. These are areas that business is investing very strongly, particularly Cisco. But what I want to do today is give you a demonstration. In the few minutes I have left, one of the things, not yet, Nick, just a second. If you go back, John, to the one before that, one of our strongest service lines is neuroscience. We have a great stroke program. And when we looked at Galena and other hospitals, the key thing that's needed is when somebody comes in with a possible stroke, about 83% have an ischemic stroke, not enough blood. If you give them a medication called TPA, within 90 minutes, you dramatically affect the course of their brain functioning. It works up to 4 hours, but you have to get it soon. Earlier is better. 13% or 17% are going to have a hemorrhagic stroke, meaning they're going to have a surgical procedure that we do here, and St. Francis in Peoria does, Rockford does, a number of places. But you have to make that decision, that triage. We have the strongest program in Illinois by both the number of procedures as well as the results. And what I have here is Dr. Fadi Charbel, head of neurosurgery, is showing how we work with places like Galena. Fadi, if you could come in, please. What we do is when Galena calls for Fadi, who himself is an outstanding neurosurgeon, we have machines set up in two or three of our collaborative units, such as Galena and some of the other hospital systems. So if they want advice, I've got Fadi, who's sitting in the emergency, or rather the operating room, at the University of Illinois. He's a little slow on his feet till he gets there. He can make the turns.
Maybe he was up all night or something.
You can actually look in pupils. You can do a lot of things through telemedicine. What I'm going to have Fadi do is come on up a little closer. I'm sitting in my ER here. Don't run into me. So I'm evaluating. Take this young fellow with white hair, Fadi. He's been under a lot of stress. Working hard.
Never.
Is he having a migraine or a stroke, or is it just gas? Take this present I can bury. Fadi, if you'd introduce yourself and take over.
Yeah, hi Joe. Hi everyone. Thanks.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Very well.
Yes.
Great. Well, this will take a minute, but I just got a call from Dean Flaherty. He said he's got a good friend of his in Princeton, Illinois, and a friend of his family, and he wanted me to take a look. So, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I can tell. So. You look great. We're going to take a good look here.
Kind of great patient.
Terrific.
What do you think?
Well, we can see is that he's awake, he's alert.
He's awake. He's awake.
It must have been a good day.
Yes, extraordinarily good.
We hope. Well, we gotta say, Dr. Eikenberry here. We here. We have a tough case in Princeton, and as you probably know, there's what, a couple hundred neurosurgeons in Illinois. Maybe 99% of them are above the certain line there. So
right.
The southern part
north
of the state,
80.
For the
yeah.
most, is uncovered. And maybe you have a case that you would like to discuss together. So in the minute that we had with Dean Flaherty, we had a chance to look at the x-rays. We're gonna go over the x-rays together here. So here's that patient. We're gonna show you what those films look like. So what you're looking at is this aneurysm. Somebody with an aneurysm here, this round thing here is an aneurysm. And so Dr. Eikenberry, I agree, it's a tough problem. And we've seen this before. We have patients just like yours right here. What we've done is we're gonna show you what we did for it. This is what it looked like at surgery. Right here, this is the aneurysm, which is a dangerous problem. It had ruptured. There's a vessel here. There's another vessel there. You can see right here and right there. And what we did is we took care of it by operating on it, and we cut that aneurysm out. You see it's gone there. Aneurysm mm-hmm. was here, it's gone, and we hooked those vessels together. Now, this is what you could do. Do you feel comfortable doing it, or you'd rather send it up here to the University of Illinois Medical Center, where we could take care of it? It's
actually,
up to you.
Actually, that looks like something we can handle here.
We wouldn't expect anything less. Well, leadership. So that's terrific. That's what we're here for, is to support you in Princeton. Else you might be, and we'll be around. We'll look over your shoulder if you'd like us to, and we can talk during the case.
If I take a crack at this, and it looks like it might be a little bit more than I would like to handle, is it okay if I ship him back up to you?
We would be delighted. That's
Good.
What we're here for. We will take care of that patient. More than 90%+ of our patients come from 15 miles or greater. 45% of them come 40 miles or greater. Neurosurgery and high-end specialties like neurosurgery are a rare field. So we'd be delighted, and we promise we'll take excellent care of your patient, and we'll get back to you afterwards.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Charbel. Nice visiting you. I think what you get the idea is don't trip on your way out, buddy.
Look behind me. Make sure I'm okay. There we go. Okay, signing off. And just so that in case anyone was confused.
Yes, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a robot.
Same here.
When I look at our capacity to provide consultation and health care throughout the state, I can't help but think of the agricultural extension program the university achieved nearly a century ago. This is one way of getting our visibility, our high-end technology, our connection to the rest of the state as a public service, while doing good while doing well. So that's the two presentations I had, Trustee Koritz. If there's any questions, John and I are happy to answer them.
Okay, outstanding. Thank you so much.
Yep.
I told you it was gee whiz.
I guess either way, I think you've always fun. You want to go ahead and take public comments?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be fine.
be all right with everyone if we did the public comments now? It appears as though folks are waiting, and then we can return to the regular agenda.